The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go with him for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow." The Gospel of the Lord. So we continue to make our way through these very difficult sayings of Jesus. I'd like to start by perhaps asking the question of whether or not you live this way. Do you live this way? This is not an option for Christians. The Sermon on the Mount, the teachings of Jesus, are not optional for us. This is the way we embody God's love. So that's where we start. Do I live this way? And all of us surely have times in our lives, because of the hardness of our hearts, that we don't. We don't despair at that point. We ask Jesus for the strength to live the life that he shows us, right? The life that he embodies for us, and the life that he then pours into our hearts so that we can live in his model after his example. Now, here, Jesus is not telling us, right? Because, and I'm thinking back to last week of how our lives are consumed with anger and lust and whatever other deadly sin, right? That our lives have become this burning trash heap of Gehenna because we hang on to all this stuff that we don't need to hang on to, all the while we're not able to embrace the love of God that's freely offered to us. Here, Jesus is giving us a way to interact with people in the world, especially our enemies. And it's not to become a doormat. I think this is probably one of the reasons why we have such a hard time understanding saints and understanding sanctity. Because we think that saints, okay, yeah, they pray, they're nice and pious, and then they come out and they're a doormat to everybody. It's just not true. Saints, it is, who reveal to other people what it means to have human dignity, what it really means to be human. And here we see, I'll offer one, if anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well, right? In ancient Israel, everybody had two pieces of clothing, a tunic and a cloak. So the tunic being your undergarment, someone wants to claim it from you, you have no possessions, they want something of value, they take your tunic. And you find yourself in court with them arguing over whether or not you can keep your own tunic. And Jesus says, okay, fine, give it to them. Give them your cloak as well. Well, guess what? You're naked. That's a little bit awkward for people, right? To see you naked in a courtroom. But what Jesus is saying there is you have to sometimes stun people. You have to shake them up in order for them to recognize your human dignity. It's a creative engagement in a way that I don't think we've considered. And we can go further. When we talk about this land, ancient Israel, being occupied by the Roman forces, it was law that the Jewish people would have to carry the soldier's pack for a mile with them. But after a mile, they could give it up and walk away. In fact, they were under no obligation to continue. And Jesus says, look, if you're pressed into service for 1 mile, go another mile. So you can imagine the scene at the end of that mile, walking along, and the soldier thinks he has you in his possession, and you turn to him and say, all right, come on, let's go, right? That's fine. We'll walk another mile together. He, at that point, right before, what are you to him? Some kind of slave. You've been pressed into service. But now, 1 mile into it, and you're going to go another mile, he has to see you as a human being. You've made a choice. You've made a ridiculous choice in the eyes of the world, but you've made a choice. You've shamed him into recognizing your humanity, and you've showed to him really the power of the love of God. Now, all of these things, turn the other cheek, giving up your cloak and tunic, walking an additional mile, this is Jesus. This is Jesus in the Passion. This is the Jesus we encounter when we walk into any good Catholic church, right, that has a crucifix on the apse. This is the Jesus that we encounter in the Eucharist. This is the Jesus who wants to transform our lives to be like his. We have some real challenges in our community. And I'm not going to sugarcoat that anymore. We have some real challenges in our community. And by our community, I don't mean just the people who gather here, because I realize that I preach to the choir here, especially at daily mass. In our community in Bhutan, we have a lot of work to do to bring Jesus to these people. Because this church should be full day in, day out, and it's not. This church should have been growing over the course of the past however many hundred years, right? We've been established since 1847. I have to look to Lucille. 1847, since, you know, we've been here a long time. We've had enough time to convert the entire town. But we have to put our hand back to the plow and try it again, because we got a lot of work to do. But it's work that God achieves through us, first in us, and then through us. So we come before him today and we turn over our hearts and our lives to him. We make an offering of our hearts, weakened and fractured and undisciplined and unfocused as they are, and we ask him to fill our hearts with his love. It's the only thing that's going to change anything, the love of God. And so we ask for a fresh outpouring of his Holy Spirit on us individually and on us as a community, that receiving this love of God given to us at so great a cost, although given to us for free, we might go out and give freely of ourselves for the greater glory of God.